Hey everybody, I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Stories. Storytelling. Throughout the ages of time, stories have captured our attention. We have found ourselves and find ourselves listening, relating, and connecting to the story as well as to the person of the story. Having thoughts of, I'm not alone. You are not alone. We are in this thing called life together. Hey everybody, this is Dr. Deb Lind and welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Every week we bring amazing guests, whether they're subject matter experts, inspiring souls, forward thinkers, or perhaps even wounded healers. In June is PTSD Awareness Month. And here at PTSD and Beyond, we've been working on something pretty special for you. Something that you can listen to each and every day. Each day in the month of June, we'll be sharing the unique story of someone with lived experience with trauma and PTSD. We'll learn a little bit about their journey, how they're progressing through a healing journey, as well as hear their post-traumatic growth and how they've found meaning, purpose, and a superpower in the process of healing. We got to let you guys know that we are extremely grateful for all the folks that have shown tremendous courage to come on the podcast and share their stories and inspire everyone to listen to this podcast around the globe. We've had folks from England, Canada, New Zealand, India, Malaysia, Australia, the United States, and beyond. We felt that there was no better way to honor PTSD Awareness Month and to share the stories of our brothers and sisters from around the world and acknowledging their trauma, their challenges with PTSD, but also to teach us and to inspire us, allowing us a glimpse of their healing journey. We here at PTSD and Beyond hope that these stories will touch your heart and touch your soul and offer you inspiration and compassion for others suffering from PTSD, from folks that are affected by PTSD, as well as yourself. These are the powerful lived experience stories of real people. They are the champions who keep striving, who keep healing, who keep growing, and who keep living. We hope that you enjoy the PTSD and Beyond 30 Stories in 30 Days, honoring PTSD Awareness Month. Remember to please share these episodes with folks that you feel and you know will benefit. Remember to subscribe, like, and share. So let's give a listen to today's guests. 30 Stories in 30 Days starts now. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond, and we have another Share My Story segment. And this person, I got to let you guys know that we're super excited. We have more than one person from Australia. This person hails from Sydney, Australia, originally from Brighton, England. Let's give a heartfelt welcome to firefighter and a person who likes to appear to chat. Luke, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the things that we talk about, and we've talked about this before, is the power of sharing stories and how, you know, there's just something about stories that captivates a person and gets people to just chime in and listen. So why don't you share with us a little bit about your story?
Yes. I'll try and keep it fairly concise. So obviously, as you said, I'm a firefighter, volunteer firefighter, work as a staff member for the Rural Fire Service. And also I've done a stint with National Parks and Wildlife Service doing firefighting there. To kind of kick it all off, I'm sure most people are aware, the 1920 bushfire season in Australia was pretty crazy. It all went kind of kaboom quite quickly, and there was little kind of build-up, kind of escalated really, really fast. So done a fair bit of firefighting over the years, kind of coming up for my eighth year now, nearly, with the service. But, yeah, basically we started getting a lot of jobs coming in, and the whole state was burning. You know, we all knew friends and family, and everyone knew someone who was affected by the fire personally, whether it be house losses or, you know, getting mates to go over to protect their houses. And we knew we were in for a big one. It was one of those years where just there just didn't seem to be any respite. It just kind of carried on going from kind of August all the way through to March. So I started kind of my kind of contribution for the season started in August. I do something called building impact assessment, which is going up, basically tallying the losses of a fire after it's passed through. So started off, did a couple of those deployments to fires on the north coast of New South Wales, the mid-north coast. So kind of 4 or 5 hours north of Sydney. Did that, and that's just part of my normal role, carried on with work as normal, and then got approached to go and take a secondment with National Parks, doing their catchment area fire team. So basically flying over to fires, new ignitions in the National Park in the Blue Mountains, and winching in and trying to get around them as best as we can, with the aim goal of keeping them below a certain size, so we can, you know, keep them small, keep them manageable, and extinguish them. So that all kicked off in October, kind of November rolled around, and we had a bunch of lightning bands come through, and basically just set the state on fire. There were, you know, hundreds and hundreds of new ignitions, mostly caused by lightning, but obviously you got arsonists and people being careless as well. Fortunately, not too much arson. But it's always a factor there. Mm-hmm. So to cut it kind of shorter, so we had a number of jobs. I'm not going to go into each one because there were, you know, heaps and heaps and heaps of them. But we had a couple of incidents that kind of got very, 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 very close, a bit too close for comfort. So the specific one that kind of I think was the kind of catalyst for me was working a fire about 3 hours northwest of Sydney, part of the Gospers Mountain fire. It was an okay day, nothing too crazy, no ridiculous conditions. But basically the fire, kind of, we thought it was done for the day. You know, you normally get like a bit of a cool change in the afternoon, so we're talking about 5 o'clock-ish, and we're just patrolling the line up and down. We've spoken to a few people. We've told the residents, you know, look, if it kicks off, we're here for you. We'll get back through, and we'll protect your house and your livelihood. And, you know, you've chosen to stay. So be aware, this isn't going to be fun, but we should get through this. This should be all right. And we're just patrolling up and down the line. We're in a pickup truck with a slip-on unit on the back. And then everything just changes. There's no notice for wind change, none of the stuff you're taught to look out for. But there's just fire starts dropping everywhere. It's got embers and firebrands coming at us and just ignites the paddocks around us. And we've got a number of trucks in there. It's all been really quiet for the day, but this escalated to a point where I don't think any of us were comfortable staying. We couldn't get back through to the residents. Basically, the road was blocked by fire, so we couldn't leave those guys. We had to leave those guys. We couldn't get through to them. And then we drive out, and basically there's, you know, trees coming down, and there's, you know, fire licking the road. And we drive down a couple of places. We've got to turn around because the fire's already beating us to it. We're just hightailing it out of there as the kind of sky just kind of glows and starts throwing embers everywhere. So I managed to get out of there, and then we did evacuations for, I don't know, 3-4 hours, basically slamming on people's doors saying, you know, we're leaving, you need to get out. Mm. And just seeing the fear on people's faces, you know, we all thought it was put to bed for the evening when that fire came through. Now, in terms of horrific stuff, it wasn't, you know, I've definitely seen worse. But this instance, it just happened to coincide with the day that my wife called me. This was my, I think it was day 3 of the deployment. She called me and said, I'm pregnant. So I had that going through my head, and then to not make it home, yeah, or the potential to not make it home is pretty high. Mm. And I think that was just kind of the, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah, that was it for me. And I carried on working for another month or so. But yeah, I basically had one evening where I broke down and said, I need to go and get some help.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I We have other folks that are within fire service and our PTSD and beyond community. And first of all, thank you for this, sharing your story as well as for your service. I mean, when they talk about the quote, you know, when you sign up to do service, the word service doesn't even encapsulate everything that, you know, the men and women who do keep us safe and the things that we just, I want to say take for granted, but sometimes I think people do take for granted. You know, we are able to sleep at night. We're able to have these conveniences because of people like yourself. And it does have such a toll to have, you know, the thoughts as well as now your wife, you know, sharing that, you know, you're both are expecting to be parents.
Yes, that was an interesting day, to say the least.
I can imagine it was, interesting to say the least. When we think about how our situations affect our lives, especially, thinking about it being reflective, what are ways that experience has affected your life?
So initially, I came home and I was a bit kind of frazzled, you know, a bit fried. We also found out that night that unfortunately two firefighters had died at a fire that we previously worked on the south western side of Sydney. They were kind of mates with some of the guys on my crew, so that hit pretty hard. Mm. I didn't know them at all, never worked with them, but hearing that two young fathers had passed away that night, it all could just kind of, you know, everything just started kind of unraveling in my head. Like I said, I carried on working, but I definitely tried to kind of escape as much as possible. So I really started drinking a lot, really didn't sleep very well, and then started getting kind of the hypervigilance, the flashbacks, the, smelling smoke just in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Just those kind of things. And I think in terms of my relationship with my wife, she was an absolute legend. She stuck by me the whole time. But I can't imagine I was a particularly enjoyable person to spend time around for those kind of few months, particularly before I got diagnosed, because I just didn't really know what was going on. Once I got diagnosed, it was a little bit, it wasn't any easier, but at least I was aware that, okay, this is something that, you know, happens. It affects a lot of people. You're going to need to work through this. But it's not you just losing your mind, you know, you're not going crazy.
That's a typical common thing that we hear in our community too, is that when people have that awareness, the realization that, wow, this is called something. Okay, so there, I'm not going crazy. There's actually something that my mind can shape around. And when we go through our healing, go through our recovery journey, you know, it starts at some point, and then we have growth moments. So we're continuously growing. And how have, again, now thinking about it, how have you grown from trauma?
I think I'm probably more compassionate in terms of understanding other people's kind of views and kind of what they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was always kind of, I tried to be understanding, but now having gone through it myself, I think I'm far more kind of compassionate in terms of recognizing the people of their own journeys. People, you know, someone could be off one day and it's not necessarily anything you've done or said. They could be dealing with their own challenges. In terms of kind of my outlook on life, I think it's definitely improved. I think now kind of going through those experiences and finding, you know, yourself in those situations where, you know, it could be quite finite in terms of kind of your lifespan, that definitely kind of made me reconsider and kind of how I approach things in life. I try and do my best to kind of maintain a positive outlook. It doesn't always work, but I'm definitely aware of my mood a bit more to try and kind of be a better role model for my daughter and be better to my wife and my family. It's probably changed my relationship with kind of how I deal with stress as well, just stress in general. Now I'm far more aware of how exercise and diet will impact your mood. Obviously, I'm still not back where I was. The 6 months I had off work definitely took a toll on my body, and then COVID as well. So there's definitely that. But I'm aware of those things and how they can massively impact mood. The huge difference it can make just going to the gym. So regardless of how my diet's been or whether I've kind of had a few beers at the end of a night, I'll still make sure I try and train as much as I can, because that just seems to make a huge impact for me. And in terms of life, I think I'm just kind of a bit more grateful, considering, you know, the situations that were there. And, you know, some people that year didn't make it. So I consider myself quite fortunate.
That's beautifully said. That's beautifully said. There are many self quotes here of awareness of how you've grown ways, and that you're, you know, the level of gratitude, compassion, a level of understanding and improved outlook, as well as, you know, self-care and your relationships with other people. When we grow, growth doesn't ever stop. It continues, especially we found on this recovery journey, people will continue to grow and experience something that we call a superpower. So what would your superpower be?
Superpower? Geez, I don't know. That's a good question. I did read them, but I didn't have an answer to any of this.
It's okay. We try to keep it conversational, and meaning keep it real. So even this moment right now, we're not editing. We're totally live. So for the listener that's there, you're right here sitting here with us, and Luke's having coffee and I got a water, and we're all ears on the superpower part. Usually the superpower is something that other people say about us and we just go, oh yeah, no, that kind of thing. So yeah. What is something that someone says to you and you're like, nah, you know, but then you think about it and you go, yeah, you know what? Yeah.
I think I try and pass on as much knowledge as I can. Now, so almost like kind of an unofficial kind of mentor, perhaps. I don't know. It sounds a bit cheesy, but I try and pass on as much knowledge as I can after that season, seeing some of the things I did, particularly to my volunteer brigade guys, younger guys coming through. I try to pass that knowledge on from being in those experiences, the kind of those lessons learned, you know, things to watch out for, little things that could change to make sure that they're not in that position. That's probably the only thing I can think of. I'd like to be super fast and, you know, beat Usain Bolt in a sprint, but it's not that kind of superpower, I guess.
So you're a mentor. That's your superpower.
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. I try to pass things on as much as possible. And that's definitely been a noticeable shift in my mindset. After the year we had, I don't know why. I think it's just, I don't want people to be in that situation, or if they are in that situation, I want to be best prepared as they can be.
Something to be said about passing on knowledge from lived experience. You know, it's completely different when you've walked those shoes. Maybe the boots look different, but the path is very similar. So to the person that's out there right now that is still with us, and thank you for being with us still and listening to Luke's story and about, you know, overcoming challenges and growth and growing, as well as the superpower of being a lived experience mentor. What would you say to the person who is really connected right now with what you have to say?
I think in terms of your path and your progress for kind of going through PTSD, you got to recognize it's not a linear progression. There will be definite ups and downs, but you'll be trending towards a better place overall. It definitely does get easier, but that doesn't mean it's not going to still be challenging. So you just got to make sure that in your mind, you always make sure that you're aware that, I'm just trying to rephrase it in my mind. You got to be aware that these things do get easier and better, but you've really got to commit yourself to getting through this challenge. Mentally, you can't check out. You have to be aware of your decisions and not let, you know, kind of that autonomy that kind of can get into your life and creep back in. So my autonomy, for example, was I would get home and I would drink. I wouldn't sleep, and I'd stay up till 4 in the morning and just kind of reliving my things. If I don't make the conscious decision to, you know, call it the second or third beer, or not try and go to bed early, or not exercise. You know, these are all things that start impacting your mood, and it's a slippery slope. So I think to kind of simplify it, making that kind of promise to yourself to make sure you work at it every day, and that, you know, you don't just give up on yourself and your journey. Just be there, be resilient, and be aware that it's going to be something that you work for. And everything gets better. You know, nothing that is good requires no work. You need to kind of make sure you're accountable for yourself for this journey to work. I think it's probably very, very long-winded, but it's probably all I have to say for someone kind of listening. It's been an absolute ride, and you know, there are good days and there are bad days. But I think, you know, as long as you make sure you stay aware and you can focus on yourself, I think you can get through it. Everyone can get through this.
I love that. A promise to yourself. Make a promise to yourself and work on it every single day, and things will and do get better. Luke, thank Absolutely. You so much for being on PTSD and Beyond and sharing your story and your Thanks inspiration so much with others. Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. Remember, if you liked this episode, please make sure that you do like it and comment on it, as well as subscribe, because guess what? We have another episode that drops every Friday. And when you do subscribe, you get that notification early. And we will see each other again next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's guest and their story on 30 Stories in 30 Days on the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Remember to hit that subscribe button, as well as to like and share and comment, and make a note, because guys, tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, we've got another story on 30 Stories in 30 Days at PTSD and Beyond.